Tanya Dijon, you've done so much in your life, amazingly young life, you've achieved a lot, but now, of course, you're focusing on mind medicine. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, so mind medicine has been set up to alleviate increasing mental illness epidemic through providing expanded treatment options for doctors and their patients, specifically in the form of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy for the treatment of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder and addictions. And these medicines, particularly MDMA and psilocybin-assisted therapies, are now also being trialled for other conditions like dementia, anorexia and other eating disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorder, a whole range of other addictions as well, and even cluster headaches. So we're seeing a massive amount of trials from taking place around the world, over 120 current and recent trials, which are indicating remissions of 60 to 80%. And that needs to be compared against remission rates from existing treatments, which are between about 20 to 30%. And this is the reason why the FDA, the US regulator, have given both MDMA and psilocybin breakthrough therapy status. And that's only given to medicines which are considered vastly superior to existing treatments. And the remarkable thing about these medicines as well is not only are they so effective and also considered to be extremely safe, so there's been no adverse events in any of the recent trials, but they only require 2 to 3 medicinal doses alongside psychotherapy. So they're like a short course of, you know, antibiotics for the mind, as opposed to a lifetime sentence of a mental illness and a lifetime of either medication and or psychotherapy, which doesn't necessarily get you better in any case.
Yes. Yeah, that's right, exactly. I mean, you are, you're right at the forefront of this movement at the moment to get psychedelic-assisted therapy happening in Australia. What I believe that would be a first too, Tanya.
Yes, well, so one of the things has been that Australia has been lagging behind the rest of the world in this field. And so when my husband and I set up Mind Medicine Australia at the start of last year, 2019, really there was no ecosystem in Australia for making sure that these medicines could become available, accessible and affordable to Australians who were suffering with mental health conditions. And so we've really set about building the ecosystem so that Australia can actually become a leader in this field. And we have a four-pronged strategy which includes, you know, education and information, events and seminars and webinars, and a global summit in November 2021 in Melbourne with some of the leading psychiatrists and researchers from around the world. We've also got chapters which we've set up all over Australia, nearly 30 of them now, and New Zealand as well. And I think we're aiming for a target of about 50 chapters around Australia. So if people listening are interested in setting up chapters in their communities, we'll provide all the support for them to do that. Or if there's a chapter already in their community, of course, we'd love them to reach out and join that. And then the second part of our strategy is the certificate in psychedelic-assisted therapy, the first of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere to train therapists. So everyone from psychologists, psychiatrists, GPs, mental health nurses, addiction specialists, occupational therapists, social workers, counsellors and so on, to work with these medicines and therapies so that they can heal their patients. Because, you know, a lot of the therapists are also feeling very demoralised, I guess, because they just can't get their patients well and out of the system. So this is pretty exciting. We have 2 intakes next year, one in January, one in July, and both of them are nearly full. So if people out there are listening and want to apply for the certificate, do so as soon as possible, and we'll be continuing to launch more training programs. And then we're also looking at setting up an Asia-Pacific Centre on Emerging Mental Health Therapies, the first of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere, to, you know, partner with some universities and government for applied research and development, so looking at, you know, potentially other conditions that can be used with these medicines. There's also a number of other medicines in this class that are being trialled for different conditions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we can also look at those. And then also, you know, Australia has such great manufacturing and, you know, agribusiness capabilities. So can we actually look at growing and developing the marketplace for these medicines in Australia, rolling out clinics? And then, of course, the final and most important thing of all is the actual ethical and legal frameworks for these medicines, because unfortunately these medicines were prohibited by President Nixon completely for political reasons.
That's right, yes.
Non-scientifically. I mean, at that time, over 50,000 patients had been healed in the 50s and 60s for a variety of conditions, and then Nixon had his war on drugs. And sadly, these medicines got caught up in those, and that was really when all research funding stopped. And it's only in the last decade or so that we're seeing this massive renaissance. So, you know, it's incredibly important now to make sure that these medicines do become legal. So we've put in rescheduling applications for psilocybin and MDMA with the TGA, our regulators. You know, that's a process. There's been a public consultation period already, and there should be an interim decision in the next month or so. But really the formal decision won't happen until about May or June next year. But these medicines are already available through what's known as the SASB scheme, which is what's been used also for medicinal cannabis.
Yes.
Where doctors, prescribing physicians and psychiatrists can apply for patients on a case-by-case basis to treat them with these medicines. And there's been a few approvals already taking place through the TGA for, you know, people who've tried every other kind of treatment, and this is really their last hope. Such an enormous amount of suffering, as you know, in the community, and particularly, of course, in veterans and first responders communities where the incidence of mental illness is so much higher.
Yes, it's of particular interest to readers of the magazine, and I think with your skills in many areas, obviously as an entrepreneur too, I guess this is important, getting the message out. We do know the history of psychedelic-assisted therapy and the bans that were imposed, I guess, firstly in America, but the idea of chapters means you're reaching out to people, Australia and New Zealand, on many levels. And, of course, it's not only for veterans or first responders,
but there's
a lot of people out there that suffer from such illness regarding mental health. And I know, I think everyone knows someone that's suffering from mental health to some degree, Tanya.
It's personal for every one of us. Greg, I mean, you know, the statistics are really frightening. Even pre-COVID, you know, one in five Australians had a mental illness, one in eight were on antidepressants, including one in four older adults and children as young as, you know, six or seven being prescribed antidepressants, rising rates of suicide and self-harm and so on. And an estimated one in two of us to suffer a mental illness in our lifetime. Now, of course, with COVID, we're seeing that, you know, up to four in five people have experienced a deterioration in their mental illness. And I've got to say to you, and I'm sure this is no surprise to you, but every day we receive heartbreaking letters, emails, text messages, calls from people who've tried every type of treatment, or it's from their parents or children of parents who are suffering. You know, it's just devastating. And my team and I are often in tears as we read these letters, because a lot of this suffering is avoidable. I mean, there are actually treatments that, you know, can get a lot of people better. And Dr. Simon Longstaff, who's on our board and the head of the Ethics Centre in Sydney, says it's actually unethical for these medicines not to be available to those who are suffering with mental illnesses under medically controlled environments. And I should reiterate the point that we're not proposing in any sense recreational use of these medicines. I mean, of course, that's up to people to make up their own minds about, but, you know, these medicines are prohibited, but we are proposing that they become controlled medicines, that they're used in medically supervised circumstances to heal patients in an intentional way from their mental illnesses. And in that respect, these medicines are superior to anything else that's around now, which is, you know, a very exciting prospect. Imagine if we can find some new, you know, treatments that are really going to heal a lot of people. This is personal for every single one of us.
Yes, exactly right, Tanya. And I think also, you mentioned there, obviously, about the need for this, and I guess it comes down to community health because, of course, the healthier a community is, the better it works together. And I guess some people are on the, well, maybe a lot of people are on the verge of giving up treatment to for mental illness. They haven't found the right answer, so this does indeed offer hope.
Well, that's right, and gosh, don't people need hope at the moment?
Yeah, well, that's
you know, we've also spoken with a lot of government ministers, including the Minister for Department of Veterans Affairs, and you know, it was very heartening when we spoke with him to hear his passion for innovation and treatment.
That's right, yeah.
For veterans, and I think, you know, he was very supportive, and we've spoken to a number of other ministers as well from both federal and state governments, and there's definitely you know, even before this crisis, there was a huge interest in innovation and treatment because I think everyone recognised that we're just not getting enough patients well with the current treatment. So I think people are really seeking and searching and really, I mean, there's an enormous amount of desperation out there now, of course.
It has increased the focus on such matters, and I think hopefully the good that will come out of that will be treatments and allowing people to access treatments that are new and perhaps have a better chance of success than previous treatment. I know that you've got a webinar series, and Mind Medicine's doing a lot of work in that area at the moment for the community, which is a fantastic thing.
No, well, look, we have a fantastic webinar series, and actually those webinars are free webinars. We occasionally also show some you know, low-cost fundraising web screenings and some wonderful documentaries in this area as well. So we'd love to keep you and your community, you know, abreast of those, and maybe you could include the link to the webinar series. And we have some really leading overseas practitioners in this field as well, psychiatrists and researchers who are also doing some of the webinars, as well as Australian leaders. And it's a really fascinating field. Like, I, when I first came across these medicines about nearly 5 years ago, I just couldn't believe that I'd never heard of them before. And I immediately just got so captivated by reading all the articles and watching the videos. I think, you know, once people have a look at our website, we've got a wonderful learn section on there. It's mindmedicineaustralia.org.
Yes, that's right, mindmedicine.
A wonderful learn section on there. And we really encourage people to reach out to us, help us in any way that you can, because there's so much suffering out there. And if we can do something that helps the millions of people that are suffering, that will be an amazing gift. And that's why my husband and I, as philanthropists and social entrepreneurs, are really putting all of our time and money and talents into this initiative. And we rely on a mixture of large and small donors to help support this movement to make sure that these medicines become available and accessible to Australians as soon as possible. And there's lots of ways to get involved. You know, there's chapters, there's talking to your local MPs, you're talking to your own doctors and practitioners so they understand and learn about these medicines. And, you know, invite people along to the webinars, come to our summit, follow us on social media. There's lots and lots of ways to get involved.
Yes, indeed, Tanya. And I think you're touching on that, of course. It is a community-minded thing also because, of course, for those that are suffering, but also for friends and family of those suffering too, it touches very much on their lives. So if we can all perhaps point in this direction, at least for people to give this a go and see of the interest level, because I think that's a wonderful thing. Finally, Tanya, how long before patients can go to the GP and their local doctor and ask for assistance with this?
Well, you know, of course, our ultimate goal is that these medicines, treatments become a part, an integrated part of the mental health and medical system. So that means that if you go to your doctor, you know, yes, they'll, you know, tell you three different options instead of just two. So at the moment it would be, you know, antidepressants or another psychiatric medication or psychotherapy or combination of the two, but then the hope is that this will become the third, first-line treatment. So so that doctors will be able to say, well, we also have these therapies, MDMA or psilocybin and assisted therapies, and their remission rates are excellent. Actually, the side effects are minimal. They're considered very safe for the right kind of patients.
Mm.
Obviously, there's certain, like for any treatment, these treatments are more suited to some patients than others. That goes without saying, you know.
Yes.
This is not a panacea for everyone. We're not suggesting that. But it is a treatment that needs to be seriously considered. And so far, the trial results show that these medicines are between, you know, 5 to 10 times more effective than what's out there. So we need to be looking at these very, very seriously. Actually, I mean, there's two statistics that I think will really be appealing to your particular community.
Mm-hmm.
In the phase two trials with MDMA-assisted therapy, there was 105 patients, I think all veterans and first responders, supervised by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those patients had an average of 18 years of PTSD. So you can imagine the amount of suffering, yeah? And after just 3 medicinal doses of MDMA combined with psychotherapy, 52% went into remission immediately. And at the end of 12 months, 67% of them were in remission. Now, that's against 20% maximum remission for PTSD from other existing treatments.
Yeah.
And one of the brigadiers with Veterans Affairs in New York said, you know, if this is a treatment that can help save lives, we should not walk, but we must run towards making sure these treatments become available. So I think the short answer, well, it's a long answer really to your question, but really the answer is that the more that the community requests access to these medicines, the more quickly they will become available through doctors. At the moment, largely through psychiatrists, addiction specialists and physicians, but hopefully over time, of course, GPs will then be referring to the other prescribing doctors who can prescribe them. Of course, the longer term goal is that yes, they're available through GPs. But obviously, as we say, people will never get to take them home. They will be provided in supervised environments under the supervision of trained therapists.
Yes, that safety issue is obviously worth reiterating for listeners and readers, and I think that's an important part of what you're doing. So, Tanya, with community health and mental health being such a perhaps focused a thing at the moment, we do thank you very much, Tanya De Jong AM, and from Mind Medicine, doing some wonderful work for the community and psychedelic-assisted therapy for veterans, for all the community perhaps that are suffering from mental issues that haven't been able to find a satisfactory solution.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, and thanks for your support, and thank you all for jumping on board and come and visit us on our website and reach out, and we'd love to connect with you.